Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We are in a series on Proving Ground 2.0, a book that we released several years ago, and we brought it back around on a refresh mode. And unfortunately, at this service, just to let everybody know, the book has been available. We sold out of the book and that first run of the book. That's good news, right? Not unfortunate, but we're gonna have it available again for at least for the 11:30 edition of the services on the weekend at the entry point level, because it's not released yet, but for our church family, it has been released, and we're gonna honor that hopefully in another week or two as well. The book is less about whether you are accepted, loved, and saved. So if you allow me as a pastor today to say that, you know where we are and what we believe in terms of salvation and acceptance, and God loves you no matter what. But can we just get into some stuff and allow ourselves to consider the life that God has for us and the life that God wants us to live, and to think about what is it that I can do to live at the highest level of my potential? Because there will be rewards in heaven, and we're all going to be rewarded based on our life here on earth and how we lived, measuring up to the potential and the gifting and the opportunity that God's given us. And so the book is really to help all of us to be aware of the opportunities that we have, and to make ourselves through the challenges of our life to consider, how can I become the person that God can use in a more effective way? How is it that God could use me to solve problems and meet needs and overcome challenges? How is it that God could lead me in my generation and make a difference in people's lives and the lives of the people around us? Because whether you realize it or not, you're the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And you may have never thought about that, but you are the only Jesus that some people are going to experience. And so it's imperative that we consider and that we think about, what is it that God can do through me? And how can my life count? How can my life matter? And along with that, I want to just say we are actively looking for the next generation of church leaders here at Champion Center on a consistent basis. Nothing would make this series more rewarding for us than having some of you young men, women, to accept the call of God or just take a step forward. We're affiliated with Northwest University, and we also have a LeadX program here at Champion Center. And when I talk about things having to do with your development, I talk about things having to do with you becoming all that you can be. Think about that, and perhaps God is calling you. And if so, just know that we have the ability through our educational program here where you can get a degree and you can develop leadership at the same time. All right? So let's pray together. Everybody that would, say, my heart's open. Say it louder. My heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, and I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. A bit of a recap to last week as we began today, and that is that your life is filled with opportunities known as proving grounds. Your life is filled with opportunities known as proving grounds. The proving ground is a place where something or someone's potential is tested. So before a product goes to market, it's tested. It's tested to prove that it's user-friendly and that it's ready to fulfill its purpose. Aren't you glad that if you use a hair dryer, that when you turn it on, it doesn't turn into a blowtorch? Are you happy about that? You turn it on with confidence. Because why? Because it's been tested. And isn't it good to know that when you're getting on an airplane, that the people who are flying the plane have gone through some grueling test, and they have passed the test so that they could pilot the plane. Anybody happy for that? I mean, what would it be like, honestly, if you're standing in the gate ready to board and they just came out and said, hey, pilots are not showing up today. Wonder if anybody would volunteer to fly the plane. I don't think any of us would want to get on that plane. So I'm telling you that because a lot of times the word test has a negative connotation. Probably because it goes back to our days in school and we dreaded the test and we had to study for the test and we didn't like to fail the test. But I wanna help you, if I can, to begin to look at testing as something that is more positive and something that happens in not only your life, but in other people's life in the form of proving grounds, where we have the opportunity to actually and literally move forward in our life whenever we pass the test. I'd like you, if you would, right now to just say with me, say this out loud, say, I'm being tested right now. Say it again, I'm being tested right now. Tell somebody you're sitting by, tell them, you're being tested. You're being tested. Tell the other person, yeah, you too. You too. Like. Now let's all shout this out really loud, if you would. Just say with me, really loud, it's only a test. I'm wanting you to pick up on that verbiage because I want you to be able to look yourself in the mirror on the tough day. And whenever there's opposition and you're facing problem, and to not just think of it as a problem, but to think of it as an opportunity where you can prove yourself strong, where you can prove yourself as having poise, where you can prove yourself that you have been prepared for this season in your life. And that rather than getting down about it, you're going to hold your head up high and you're going to remind you in the mirror, this is only a test. This is only a test. And we're going to remind one another. We're going to say, don't be going sideways on me. Don't be going and getting offended and goofy on me. It is only a test. On the screen, there is 9 tests that each of us will face repeatedly in our lives. And you can look at that, and if you haven't written this down yet, or maybe even write it down again, testing always precedes promotion. So when you're going through this, there is a question waiting to be answered. Question waiting to be answered. But the test comes before the promotion can come. About a year ago, there were a couple guys on our team who noticed that I was consistently adjusting the headset microphone that I was wearing to speak with. And we had tried a few different styles, but just the ideas of having wires around my ears, and sometimes they were too tight and sometimes they were too loose. And we tried some that were heavier, and it felt like I was wearing like a hanger on my head. And then we tried some that were lighter, and it felt like it was so flimsy that it's moving around all the time. And so I'm always, you know, adjusting it, moving it, and they started thinking about the possibility of connecting a small microphone to my glasses. And so they wondered if there was a microphone that would be small enough, and they started researching it. And they wondered if there was a way to attach the microphone to a pair of glasses and hide the wiring around the face area. And so the first time I heard about it was when my personal assistant said, hey, the tech guys are asking if you'll come down to the platform. It was during the day, one day when we were here working, and I said, "Yeah, what's up?" And, well, they want to test a microphone. So I came down, and they had an old rickety pair of glasses, and they handed them to me, and they said, "Put this on." And I noticed that there was a microphone kind of thing, and I put it on, and I started walking around and started talking, and they said, "No, act like it's the weekend. Yell really loud, you know, and, you know, just go for it." And so I'm talking, and I'm yelling, and I'm quoting scripture, and I'm doing all of that. And there's what they were wondering is if the sound would be good quality on such a small mic, and they wondered if we would get, you know, feedback from it, and would it really work. And as we tested it, it went from being a microphone that we weren't sure would work to being our microphone of choice. And we, since then, have a patent pending on it, and I travel with it to my speaking engagements, and other pastors and tech teams are fascinated when they look at it, and we pull it out of the little case that the glasses and the mic is in, and they look at it, and they're going, "Wow, whoa, What is this? Is it going to work?" And I said, "We're going to find out. We'll find out pretty soon." And so, like, just a week or so ago, I was speaking at a fairly large conference in California, and it was interesting to me because the pastors that were there, a lot of them were coming up to me afterwards, and you know, I'm thinking, "Oh, they're going to tell me they like my message." And no, it wasn't that. They wanted to know about my microphone. They're like, "What?" We see a little wire like back here. What is the deal? Like, and then I'm like, "Well, if you wear glasses, you know, I can help you out with this." And they're like, "Really? Like, where can I get that? How can I do that?" And I always said, "You know, how much money do you have? We're raising money for, we gotta have new campuses in the Great Northwest. Like, come on, man." Like, and so we had a little fun with it, but. Now other pastors are starting to use it. Now, I don't know where it'll go from here, but it all started right here. And it started with ingenuity. It started with somebody looking at a problem and saying, "No, it's an opportunity." And it started with somebody who was willing to think about it, consider it, invest some time and some energy. And then when the microphone itself came into play, testing always precedes promotion. Like, it would never have got on my glass. I'm wearing it right now, for those of you who are watching. It's like right here in the corner of these glasses. And it would never have gotten here if it would not have passed the test. So testing in our lives is the same way. There's a season where we go through a testing. And I hope that you can get this in your spirit and be encouraged and understand testing is what leads to promotion. So I want to talk about some of the tests that you looked at, and we'll talk about two or three of them today. The first one I want to talk about is the test of small things. The test of small things. And again, this is there anyone that doesn't want to get stuck where you are? Like, Is there anyone who would say, I want to advance? Is there anybody like that? I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people today. So the test of small things comes to prove your potential for greater opportunities in your life. It comes to prove your potential for greater opportunities. So the question is basically, whenever you're dealing with the test of small things, what I call the test, is can you handle more? And the way that question is answered is by the observation of how you're doing with what you already have or what's already in front of you. There's a story in the Bible of a guy named David who started in the shepherd field, and he eventually became the king of Israel. But the pathway between shepherding and being a king is where he proved his potential. One small opportunity at a time. As a shepherd, he proved that he could protect his father's sheep. He proved that he was brave. He proved that he was skillful. He proved that When no one was around, there were no cameras, there was no news reporters, there was no CNN, there was no Fox News, there's nobody out there, hey, we're on the backside of the desert here in Judea and we're checking in on David to just see how he's doing. There was none of that going on. He's very alone, he's alone, but instead of just wasting his time and wondering when am I gonna get a big break in my life, he is becoming better with what in his hand. And it was a slingshot. And he's becoming the best shepherd that he knows how to be. And he's thinking, how can I protect my father's sheep? And how do I protect and guard our future? And so he's flinging stones at targets and at fence posts, and he's getting better day by day. And then I think it probably started with small predators coming along. And he takes out small predators. And then eventually he faced a lion and he became a lion slayer. His bio now is David Lion Slayer. He faced a bear and he put the bear down. David Bear Slayer. In other words, he became the best of shepherds. And it turns out that the shepherd field was a proving ground preparing him for the battlefield, where David volunteered to face a 9-foot giant. When all the other soldiers were scared out of their mind, David's like, I'm not gonna take that trash talk from that giant talking about my God and my nation and our people. And he steps out there in a fight to death. So think about it. We're not talking about a wrestling match, a boxing match, an MMA fight where you can tap out. We're talking about fight to the death. If he won, his nation would win the war. But he gives us an indication when he's looking at the giant and he's talking to the giant of why he was so courageous. And he says something like this: the God that was with me when I faced the lion, and the God that was with me when I faced the bear, that God is with me today. And then he had this little edge on him, like shoulders back, head up. And he told the giant, I'm gonna feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Like, you're going down. I love that. But here's what I want you to understand, is that when you go through a proving ground and you pass the test, it grows your confidence. It sets you up for your future. When you get through the tough time, the difficulty, the struggle, the problem, the lion, the bear in your own life, what it does is it gives you confidence to face the giant. The giant went down, and now David moves forward. He wasn't even in the military, but he soon became a military leader. He did so good being a leader. People loved him. And then they started putting posters out and rallying around the idea that he would be the next king of Israel. And his fame grew in the land. But what I want you to understand is that the shepherd did not just stay where he was at and just wake up one morning in the palace. It doesn't happen like that. If you're under 30, please listen. Please listen. Please don't just tune out. Please lean in. I could literally save you some heartache and this thought today. If you'll realize right now that when you're praying for open doors in your life and God, please do this and do that, and please God, give me that space and that place, rather than just praying that way, look around and ask yourself, what is it that's in my life right now? What is it that I have an opportunity to do well right now? And don't allow yourself to be too big to do something small. Don't allow yourself. To despise the day of small things. Whatever your hands find to do, the Bible says, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord. If it's a broom in your hand, sweep, be the best sweeper. Like, clean that floor. Well, okay, keep your attitude and stay stuck right where you are. If you humble yourself and you say, right now, this is what I can do, and I'm gonna do it with all of my heart, and I'm gonna do it as unto the Lord, and I'm gonna be the very best with what I have. You watch, God will promote you. Come on, God will promote you. I said, God will promote you. I get angry at the apathetic nature that the enemy is bringing into young lives today. So pardon me if I feel a little bit like I'm driving this home, but I hate seeing young men and young women waste their life laying in bed and waking up late and kind of thinking about someday I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna be the next rock star, I'm gonna be the next this movie star, I'm gonna be in Hollywood, you watch, everybody's gonna know my name, you're gonna know my name. I'm so sick of the enemy lying to people where they waste days that turn into months, that turn into years in their life. Come on, somebody ought to be helping me out right now. Some of you ought to be clapping a little bit louder right now, because the enemy wants to destroy your opportunity. But if you can just get in your mind, I'm going to be the very best with whatever is in my hand. I'm going to do the best, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to straighten up, and I'm going to be the very best at what I'm doing right now. And if I don't have something to do, and I'm bored out of my brain, I'm going to go look for a problem I can solve. I'm going to go look for a problem. Anybody got a problem? Because I'm a problem solver. And I am here. Like, if you get that attitude, I promise you, God will promote you and put you in better places in your life, throughout your life. Anybody believe what I'm saying? Am I saying the truth? Test of small things. 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 Test of small things, test of small things, test of small things. Another one we'll talk about is the motivation test. And the motivation test comes to when you're doing the right thing to prove why you're doing it. It's the why behind the what. So God doesn't just want us to do the right thing. He wants us to do it for the right reason, with the right heart, and with the right attitude. Now let me just preface this saying that I know there's people today that came to church or your wife, or your girlfriend, and I'm really glad you're here. I'm really glad you showed up. And the possibility is that when you came for the wrong reason, actually, or a reason that wasn't really significant, that God could use today and begin to minister into your life. But the goal is that we are always adjusting the attitude of our heart so that we're not only doing the right thing. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. What he was saying is, I'm not going to let myself even think for a moment about it being a drudgery or it being something I don't want to do today. I'm going to quickly make a decision every opportunity I have to have an attitude about God's house that's positive. That's a place I want to go. I need to go. I'm better when I go. And God wants me to be in his house all the days of my life. It's the same way with giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says God loves a cheerful giver. It doesn't just say God loves a giver. It says God loves a what? Shout it out. A
cheerful.
Say it again. A what? A
cheerful.
So I don't think it's a stretch to say God loves it when we're happy to give. God loves it when we bring him our first and our best. Not sour, not bitter, not selfish, not complaining. God loves it when pastors and church leaders do what I'm doing right now. Teach people the counterintuitive act of giving. Because it's counterintuitive. It doesn't come natural. But God loves it when we adjust our attitude to turn from human selfishness to godly generosity. Not just that we give, but that we are learning generosity. We're becoming more like God, who so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves it when the whole church rallies around tithes and offerings. God loves it when the church graduates into thinking of giving as a privilege, not a pressure. Not a burden, it's a blessing. We get to invest in the kingdom of God, which is the hope of the world. And when we do it, people's lives are changed. People are baptized. People find Jesus as the leader and the Lord of their life. Young people are put on a right path instead of a wrong path. So God loves not just the giving, but he loves a what? A cheerful giver. And I love the fact that at Champion Center we have so many cheerful givers. I'm so thankful that we have so many generous people, so many cheerful giving people. And I don't know about you, I don't really want to go to a church or pastor a church where there's grumpy givers. And mad people about you. Oh, you want me to give again? No, be selfish and self-centered and put the lid on your life and do your deal. That's what I feel like saying sometimes. But I'm called to everyone who will listen and to say, sir, do you really want a better life, a more bountiful life? Do you really want God's favor and blessing on your life? Then attitude adjustment in the area of your giving. Don't tune me out. Don't just say, yeah, that, no, adjust attitude. And everything that God gives to you, give him the first part. I mean, when you think about the fact that God gave his son, he's forgiven us, he's brought us into his family, we have grace on top of grace. When we slip, he picks us up. When we goof up and mess up, he forgives us. But every day we can stand in the promise and the hope of righteousness. Like, why wouldn't we want to give? Why wouldn't we want to build God's house? Why wouldn't we want to invest in things that are eternal? Even if it means giving up a pair of tennis shoes or whatever. Like, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want to give our first and our best to God? So it's not just the act. There's a motivation test going on in all of our lives to continually observe, and I'm talking about God observing, not just what we do, but how we do it. And I don't always get it right. I don't always, my initial feeling isn't always right. That's for sure. Like, let me ask you another question. What if you find yourself going through a season where you expect more support from friends and people at church than you're receiving? Anybody ever been there? You ever had those times where you, thank you for being honest. Anybody else want to be honest, or you want to sit there and lie? Like, there's a lot of us that, including me, that have gone through times in our lives where we feel like we're not receiving the support and the friendship and the consideration and the backing of the other people at church. So here's what I just want to draw a word picture for you right now. Could it be that when that's happening to us, that it's not about what they did or what they didn't do? Could it be that those are seasons of testing, where God is teaching you to focus less on what other people do for you and more on what you do for other people? Could it be? Could it be? And that's what it looks like. Is that making sense to you? Like that's what it's looked like. And again, no one's there. No, it's like in the privacy of your own heart and your moment. You're like going through, you're just like, nobody pat me on the back. Nobody compliment. Nobody encouraged me. People don't care. They don't care at that church. They're not friendly at that church. Could it be that it's not about them? I found that a lot of times when I'm wanting to tell God about the congregation. I'm wanting to say, God, these people don't listen. God, these people, they show up sometimes physically, but not mentally. They can't wait till church is over. Like, these people irritate me, God. Why'd you call me to pastor these people? And I find that when I go down that road, which I do, I'm guilty, that this understanding has a way of bringing me back. Where I realize really it's not about the congregation, it's about what kind of pastor am I going to be when I feel that from the congregation? Am I gonna be a discouraged pastor? Am I going to be an angry pastor? Am I going to get up here and all hell break loose and me just, you know, put people over the fires of hell and dangle you there? Am I going to make you feel horrible and tell you everything that you're not? Is that what I'm going to do? What am I going to do? Because that's my time. See, that's my, it's about me. Does that make sense to anybody? And I can blame people, I can accuse people, but I've learned that in those seasons when I'm wanting to tell God about them, God's like, you're wasting your time. Like, you're blaming them and telling me how horrible they are. I'm focused on you, Kevin. I'm doing something in you right now. I'm making you stronger. I'm making you better. Come on, I'm building you up. Because I want you to be the kind of man that's not dependent on other people's approval. I want you to be the kind of man that'll keep doing what you're doing no matter what other people are doing. Man, am I doing good today or what? And that's what testing is all about. That's what the proving ground is all about. And if that paradigm kicks in, what happens automatically is I become a better pastor, I become a better father, I become a better papa, I become a better husband. And I remember that I'm not responsible for you, them, that. Hey, by the way, I just said something. I don't know if you guys realize that. I'm responsible to teach you, but I'm not responsible for what you do with what I teach you. That has set me free. That has set me free. God really helped me a few years ago by reminding me, Kevin, I don't expect you to help people who won't help themselves. And it set me free. It liberated me. Like, really? Like, I tried so hard in my own nature to try to help people that are not helping themselves. And then it's like God said, hey, that's not your job. Your job is to focus on you and your heart. And being as good under extreme adversity and difficulty as I know you're capable of being, Kevin. I'm doing something in your heart, I'm doing something in your life to prove you. And if you pass the test, son, it don't matter what other people say and do. There's better days ahead for you. What do you do when you need credibility with people? How many of you know credibility is something that is It is a whole lot harder to gain than it is to lose. Well, here's what I want to tell you. If you want credibility and you need credibility, there's three things that we talk about. We'll be talking about them in small groups. I'm not going to go into it today in the message. I've run out of time. But be a part of these small groups this week. Get into the conversation. Because some of you are wondering, why don't people trust me? Why is it that I'm not getting opportunities? Why is it that people are not allowing me to have an opportunity? Why is it? And it could be any of these things I'm talking about, but it could be just simply that you don't have credibility yet in your life. And passing the credibility test is what opens up the door for greater opportunities ahead. Does that make sense to you today? God has something great in mind for each and every one of you. And I want to thank you for the way you lean in. I want to thank you for the way you are attentive. I want to thank you for every person who comes every single week, ready to grow, ready to learn, ready to move your life forward. I want to say thank you, and I think I'm speaking on behalf of the God who created you, for having a desire to be everything you can be and everything God made you to be. And I want to say to you today, don't give up whenever there's adversity. Don't give up and don't get discouraged when you feel like you're hitting a ceiling and a lid in your life. Don't you dare entertain the idea or the fact that God's forgotten about you or God doesn't know where you're at or what you're dealing with right now. Don't even go there. God hasn't forgotten you. God knows right where you're at, and God knows what you're going through. And rather than doing that, just ask God in prayer, God, show me. Show me about these lids. Show me about these questions. Show me about these tests, these proving grounds. Because I want to do everything to answer the question that is in my life right now. It could just simply be somebody really, really hurt you. Now, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to stay offended? Are you going to drink the poison? Or are you going to take that feeling of offense and say, I am not going to allow this myself to live offended, so therefore I am going to refuse the poison and the opportunity. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big hand, can we?
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.